Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Tomorrow night, last Bears episode of Hard Knocks Music leading us into this segment. Welcome and welcome back. We are 2 hours through our 4 hours of fun. Happy Labor Day to you. I am the incandescent Steve Rosenblum. He is the legendary and iconic Hub Arkush. We'll be here for the next 2 hours. Bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Wayne Larrabee, play-by-play for the Green Bay Packers. Top of next hour, Clay Harbor, former NFL tight end, 9 years in the NFL, now runs the Believe in Bears podcast. He's part of it with Marshall Harris and Gabe Ramirez. Hear them all on this here radio station, The Score. And at 9:30, we'll talk with Megan Montemurro of the Tribune. We'll talk Cubs with her. We've talked all about that, Bears and Cubs and stuff like that. And you people about the Cleveland Spiders, stop texting. Baseball records start at 1900. We know they're the worst team ever. They were also a National League team. They weren't the Cleveland Indians or Guardians or whatever. Just stop. We know that. 1900, White Sox, worst. It's the 1962 Mets you're looking at, maybe the 1916 Phillies for percentages. We need, you know what? The White Sox are perfectly capable of losing out, and then they could erase all that history. They could just, that's it. We're the worst ever. Percentage, losses, all that kind of stuff. We'll talk about that later. For now, Hard Knocks, final episode tomorrow. What have you thought of the Bears, of all this fighting against being on the TV? What did you think of what you've seen so far, Hub?
Well, it's been all right. I have never been a Hard Knocks fan. I've never really watched much. I mean, I've watched it a couple times in the last 10 years or so. Obviously, I've watched all 4 so far of the Bears. But at the end of the day, it's not that they don't produce good information. They produce some good information, but they don't produce any meaningful football information. And I don't watch much television. So to watch these shows and not learn anything about what I care about, I just don't do it. But as far as these 4 Bears Hard Knocks, I think they've been okay. You know, it's really not about learning anything about football. It's about getting to know the players better. I mean, they're not going to give you any information on that show that's going to help one of their opponents.
And you know what? I will go back to Hard Knocks off season, mm-hmm. and I wanted to compare that. Did you see the Giants Hard Knocks off season?
No, I didn't watch any of it. So,
well, it was interesting the way they went about business. They showed, I think, too much mm-hmm. in a lot of different ways, but they showed a lot of the process. Everybody in the NFL is protective of their process, mm-hmm. their information, their data, proprietary information. I think the Giants showed too much, more than most teams would want. We've seen the Bears do everything. It's so boring. The Bears have done everything they can to not get asked back. Oh, my God, this is what all the clamoring was about? Never again. I can wait another 30 years. I don't need to see it. That's pretty much the way the Bears have gone about it. And it's not just the taking out the cursing, which is
that's juvenile to take that out. Mm-hmm. But you're right. You're not going to learn. The Giants, because it was the offseason, we saw them interviewing prospective draftees, including Caleb Williams, Romo Odunze, and what they do on the board. And you got a better sense of that. And maybe for people who aren't as intimately involved as you, they found some of the bear stuff. But most of these, the training camp things are always built around, okay, who's the heart-stopping story? Who's the heart-tugging story? Who's the injury? And we saw it. Ian Wheeler was the injury story. They finally got something paid off that way. That's what Hard Knocks is built around. Football information was there to be had in the offseason because there wasn't a whole bunch of, there wasn't a roster.
Mm-hmm.
So it was much more interesting. The Giants probably released too much information or showed too much, such as it is. If you want to be the Giants when you grow up, I don't think the Chiefs do, but that's what was presented there. What were you, in your blue sky world, what would you have wanted to see? What would you have hoped to learn?
Well, again, I want to be as clear as I can on this. I have nothing negative to say about Hard Knocks. It's just not my choice is all it is. But at the end of the day, with the four Bears Hard Knocks, I have learned some more about the newer players as people. And I find that interesting, you know. Mm-hmm. And so far, I haven't found any that I don't like. You know, they all seem likable enough. But I haven't seen anything in these first four episodes that have made me feel like I just learned more about how good or bad this team is going to be. And that's what I'm most interested in. Mm-hmm. And so to commit to a 5-part TV series and not hear anything about what I'm most interested in doesn't do much for me. But that's just me. Other people have different reasons for watching it, and I'm sure they enjoy the show. And again, I have enjoyed some of what I've learned about some of the players. I think one of the off-season stories that hasn't been big enough in Chicago is Jonathan Owens and Simone Biles, because it's a huge sports story. It's not a It's just not a huge football story. But what's been missed in that is Owens has been one of their best players in training camp. He's played really well in the preseason games.
He's got to get out of jail free card for a week to go to Paris to watch his wife.
Because they know he's ready. They know he's going to be on the roster, and they know he's going to contribute. And it was also, that's an interesting point, because it's a good sign of Flus doing the right thing. You know, it wasn't going to hurt the team in any way. It wasn't going to hurt anybody, and it was the right thing to do. At the exact same time, Dansby Swanson didn't get to go watch his wife win a gold medal, you know, and it could be.
Well, Dansby Swanson was playing in games that mattered.
Yeah.
Jonathan Owens was not.
Right.
But let me compare it to something else, because it's the first thing that struck me, and you were there. When Jonathan Owens wants to go watch his wife become the acclaimed greatest gymnast ever, and Lance Briggs wants to leave this week, actually, and told Mark Trestman, I got to go to Sacramento. And he was going to go open his barbecue restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to be there was everything that was wrong with Mark Trestman was, and maybe Lance Briggs, arguably, was right there, too. So that was the first situation I thought of, like asking a coach, can I have a hall pass? Can I get out? What did you think? The comparison mean anything to you?
Nothing meaningful, if that's a good reason. But I mean, these are different people not running their football teams or baseball teams differently. They're running their lives differently, you know, and that's why Hard Knocks doesn't appeal to me all that much, because I don't think it had any football impact. I don't know anybody who freaked out and thought that the Bears were going to be hurt by, you know, Owens going for a couple of days to see his wife. And you're right about Dansby Swanson, different situation. And I'm not criticizing. I don't think the story that I heard is that Swanson's wife told him it was wrong for him to come and miss the game. And
That's great.
Yeah, no,
she's right.
He said it was his wife's decision. She said, no, you got to be with your team. And so that actually made it sound pretty good. But the two teams did handle it differently. And I guess you could argue both teams handle it right.
I think so. I think the Bears did it bought some a little more respect or cred for the coach. Just the way I want to run this by you. Now that we've seen this whole thing play out with Justin Fields, I thought Ryan Poles did himself a solid throughout the league, gained himself a lot of respect and trust in players, if not also agents, but players. When Justin Fields was pretty clear where he wanted to go, and at a cost to the Bears, it was sort of unknown, but let's say two rounds of a draft pick, a six-round pick that they got from Pittsburgh might have been higher somewhere else just to benefit the Bears. But Ryan Poles wanted to give Justin Fields a chance to give Justin Fields the chance he thought was his best. Now he's still backing up Russell Wilson. He showed very little in the preseason, very little that he could be a passing quarterback in this league. And your thoughts on what Ryan Poles did and how he did it, does it help the Bears ultimately? They gained some respect around the league and Justin Fields' decision. Good, bad, or what?
Well, it definitely helps some with other players because Fields was clear. Pittsburgh was where he wanted to go. And not only did they get him there, but they got him there for probably more than half what they could have gotten from somebody else. He was an NFL starting quarterback. They're not easy to get. You should have gotten at least a third round pick or a fourth round pick. To, you know, trading him for a sixth round pick was almost like giving him away. And I'm sure that players really respect that. I don't. Other teams aren't going to have an opinion one way or the other. There's 32 GMs. They all think they're the best. They all have to deal with each other. You know, they're not going to have an opinion on it one way or the other. But what I don't understand, why did Justin Fields pick Pittsburgh? What was it about Pittsburgh? That's not where he's from. And he knew Russell Wilson was already there. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Whatever he scouted or his agent scouted Russell Wilson, I'm sure that played part of it. Maybe it was Mike Tomlin. Maybe it was a chance to play for Mike Tomlin.
Could
who
be.
Is Mike Tomlin's like no nonsense. Mike Tomlin has far greater respect than Eberflus does as a head coach. He's won Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. And even in bad years, last year was a really difficult year. And also, Justin Fields had his, it's weird to call it his best game. He had it in front of Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. He had that amazing comeback. Only the Bears sucked and gave it up to Ben Roethlisberger. But Justin Fields has had that comeback. He led that team. His numbers were not really good. They're not nearly as good as we want to make that comeback. But he did that in Pittsburgh. I don't know if that played a part in it. If Mike Tomlin said something out of the after the game, something that stuck with him. If Mike Tomlin were to pay you a compliment, that would stick with you, right?
Yeah, no, I'm sure it would. And I think you make a great point. I think that Tomlin could have been the main reason. There's no question about that. But you know, the flip side of that is again, Pittsburgh. This is a playoff team. You know, it's not like you know you're going to rebuild and you're going to be the quarterback who rebuilds it. And knowing that it was a playoff team that added Russell Wilson, you know, for Fields, I don't know. And his contract is up after this year. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like he knows what the future is. It just seems like there were better options available to give him a better chance to remain a starting quarterback because there's no way. I knew the minute he was traded, he wasn't going to start ahead of Russell Wilson. It's now been formalized. Russell Wilson is the starter. And unless Russell Wilson gets hurt, I don't think Justin Fields is going to play
and
this
year. And he did. He wasn't there in the preseason, and Justin Fields had a chance, whether it was a competition or not, whether it was any, or the decision was made as soon as Russell Wilson got a clean bill of health. But he got hurt, and maybe that's part of the, maybe that was part of the formula as well.
But I also think that he got a lot more that the preseason time because it was never a competition. But I think they wanted to, I think they wanted to find out more about him so they could decide what to do with the contract because they can force him to stay for one more year. But it's going to cost them about $25 million.
No. We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Not going to do that.
And so it's almost like they gave up a 6-round pick for nothing. Not that it's that valuable, but I just don't understand how either side thought this was a good deal.
We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll do another segment. We want to make sure we clear the decks, give time to talk to Wayne Larrabee, Packers play-by-play man. And we'll talk to him about Jordan Love, how much ownership he has of the Bears. Does he have the documentation to prove it? Does he have a deed that shows he owns the Bears? We'll go from there. Let's take a break. He's up, Arkish. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thanks for listening on this Labor Day. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Steve Rosenblum. Hub Arkish on Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Welcome in, welcome back. Bottom of the hour, we've been talking Wayne Larrabee, play-by-play announcer for the dreaded evil Packers. talked about Jordan Love and all the stuff that goes along with that misery that the Packers are at it again with another franchise quarterback. And for the moment, what does he want to say, Hub? I want to say
turn. It'll on sound mic. Better if I turn on my mic. Yeah.
Welcome to Saturday Suckage on Monday.
I just want to clean up. I hope it isn't a mess I made in the last segment, but I something didn't come out the way I wanted it to. And I want to be clear. Justin Fields is one of the most impressive young men that I've worked with in the 45 mm-hmm. years I've been in this business. Mm-hmm. I did not mean to say anything in the last segment that came across as negative in any way about Justin Fields as a person. And more than that, as the athlete, as the football player. Justin Fields is an extremely impressive young man who has everything it takes to lead an NFL franchise like a quarterback should. What he doesn't have is the passing ability. He is not an NFL passer. I've seen enough in 3 years to know that. Now, he may still become one, but he isn't right now, and that's why he wasn't going to make it as a quarterback for the Bears. But
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Then comes the question, so why did Pittsburgh make the deal that they did? Mike Tomlin is one of the best. There's no question mm-hmm. about that. And I'm wondering if the trade for Justin Fields had nothing to do with him being their quarterback, but him being their Taysom Hill. And you look at the New Orleans Saints and Taysom Hill, and we didn't know this until the break. I can't believe he's 34 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, I know. I looked up Taysom Hill, and I look at, wait, 34? We keep thinking this guy is 23, and he's a switchblade, right?
I thought he was a kid just developing just like Fields was, but he's not. He's a veteran who's made a hell of a career out of being a special agent, a special target. And I'm just wondering if Tomlin didn't push for that deal to use Justin Fields that way this year.
We talked about him as a wide receiver in training camp.
Well, but you look at the difference that Hill made for the Saints. I think that he probably is one of the main reasons, if not the reason, that they won one or two games, and they were a 9-8 team last year. And if that's the way that Tomlin wants to use Justin Fields, mm-hmm. that's smart, because Justin Fields is a great athlete. And while he is not an NFL passer, he's an excellent NFL runner. He can throw NFL passes. He just doesn't make the right decisions or read the field fast enough to do it. But if you're going to use him like they use Hill, just for in special moments, he could become a very valuable weapon, and that may be what they're going to use him as.
I should have said Swiss Army knife instead of switchblade, although they both cut you. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk. We'll go behind the cheddar curtain. We'll talk Bears, Packers with Packers play-by-play man, former Bears play-by-play man, wonderful all-around announcer, Dagger! He's Wayne Larrabee. I'm Steve Rosenblum. There's Hub Arkish, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked, saw it, evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's like it's its own playground. That field is his playground.
Steve Rosenblum. Hub Arkish on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Caleb Williams, touchdown run against the Bengals in the preseason. He ran into the Soldier Field wall and yelled at the fans, I own you. I've always owned you. No, that didn't happen. But he scored. Highlight courtesy of Fox 32. Welcome and welcome back. In for Mully and Haw this Labor Day, I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Hub Arkish. I am the incandescent one. He is the legendary and iconic one. We're going to go to the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois, and welcome to the show. A favorite. He is Wayne Larrivee, play-by-play man for the Green Bay Packers. He joins us now. Wayne, happy Labor Day, and thank you for coming on today.
Hey, Steve and Hub, good to be with you. Been a long time.
It has been, but that just means we're old, so we prefer.
Yeah, so let's not talk about that.
Yeah, there we go. So Bears fans are thrilled this year. You may not know this. There may be a civic parade that they're not going to start the season with a loss to the Packers and be 0-1 after and one game down in the division. And the question is, the Bears have their guy the way the Packers have always had their quarterback. Jordan Love seems to be following Aaron Rodgers, seems to be following Brett Favre. Beat the Bears, win the division, do all that. Give us a scouting report on Jordan Love in this preseason or this offseason. Is he, Bears fans may not want to hear it, is he looking better, smarter, more mature? How would you describe him?
Well, first off, I want to know if the Bears, if the rumor is true that the Bears are being fit for rings based on the 4-0 undefeated preseason.
Yes,
it's got to be happening, right?
Yes, they're all getting the gold jackets too.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, Wayne, they've already got Caleb in the Hall of Fame too.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, didn't have to wait the 5 years. You know, the thing with Jordan Love, he had a solid camp. Was it spectacular? No, but he had a good workmanlike camp. The thing the Packers quarterbacks have done, and Rodgers did this a lot too, was they make throws in practice that they wouldn't do in the games, and including joint practices, you know, where they're trying to find out, okay, if I have to, can I throw this ball to this covered receiver? Can I do this? Can I do that? That kind of thing. So, but I would say by all accounts and from what I saw, Jordan Love was fine in the preseason. They got three plays, did the starters on offense in Cleveland to start the preseason, and they scored on a long touchdown pass. And, you know, that was the last we saw of them in game action. But in Denver was kind of a rough they practiced the Broncos. And, that was kind of rough. The Broncos were really up for it, and the Packers kind of struggled a little bit. But then Baltimore came in last week, and it was nice to see the Packers appear to be – they certainly could stand up with Baltimore, and that was just a great practice both ways for both the Ravens and the Packers. So I would say he's had a good camp. He's had a solid camp, and, you know, he doesn't have to hit it out of the ballpark in the warm-up, but, you know, I think he's ready to go for the regular season.
You know, Wayne, it's interesting because I'm reading and seeing all this stuff now, and I'm seeing Love listed as a top 10, maybe even better quarterback in the NFL, and he may very well be. I have nothing negative to say about Jordan Love, but the first nine games, hold that but, the last nine games of the season were special. I at least they looked that way to me, but the first eight games weren't all that impressive, and so that's a half and half. Where are you at in terms of all these people who've already anointed him as the next Brett Favre and the next Aaron Rodgers, or what are the things that you still need to see to be comfortable that they do have their third straight Hall of Famer quarterback?
Well, I was reading something last night. I can't remember who the guy was who was talking about it, but you know, it takes time on quarterbacks, Hub. It's never a one-year process. Everyone would like to think, oh, you know, after 1 year, if you got the guy or not, and you really don't. You know, ask the Patriots about Mac Jones. Ask the Giants about Daniel Jones. It takes a couple of years. I think what last year was all about was finding out that Jordan Love can play on this level. And by the way, if you go nine games, like his last nine games, if you're a fluke, you don't get nine. You don't play nine games like that. So I don't think he's a fluke by any stretch of the imagination. But we found out last year he can play on this level. This year, I think we really find out if he is, in fact, the man. That's the way I've always looked at it. Now people are jumping to conclusions, and people will say, "Well, the team paid him." The team paid him because that's just the finances of the game and the way it's played right now. But I think they're banking on him, Hub, because he got off to a good start last year. 3 weeks into the season, he's among the league leaders in passing. Then they hit a patch where they didn't win a game for over a month. They lost four in a row, and you know things didn't look good. But the quarterback never flinched. And when the people around him started to get better, he got better, and that's when they went on their run. So I think what they really liked, what probably convinced the Packers brass about Jordan Love, was not the success he had in that 8 or 9 game streak down the stretch. That certainly helped. But I think the way he handled the adversity and came through it on the right side.
Talking with Wayne Larrabee, play-by-play voice for the Green Bay Packers, former play-by-play voice for the Bears, worked in this. We were talking about the booth you worked in here, Wayne, and I asked Hub if he ever worried for his health when Butkus was there, just out of sheer joy, if the Bears were to win and Butkus were to just, the arms would be extended and those massive fists and this Jurassic cheering would be going on. Did you ever fear for your life when it was Butkus celebrating, Wayne?
No, because I've always had two guys between me and Butkus. One
thank
of them
God
might have been Hub, the other one could have been Fensick, any number of people. There you go.
Let me ask you about where Aaron Rodgers was cited by Caleb Williams as the guy, a guy, someone he learned, he studied, he wanted to be like, someone who represents what he could do. One of the things I saw early on in Caleb Williams in the pocket is not running around with his hair on fire, not running around in chaos, but maintaining almost a ballerina's poise, keeping his eyes downfield. Rodgers was excellent at that. He could move around. He could scramble inside the pocket, looking elegant effortlessly, and do it effortlessly and find an open receiver. And Caleb Williams seems to have, of all the lessons, that's the one that jumped out at me. But I don't think Rodgers had that at the start. Do you recall seeing that develop, or where does that rank in the many skills that Aaron Rodgers showed you?
Yeah, I think that kind of came along. And I think Tom Clements had a lot to do with that. You know, when they got Aaron from Cal, they had to change the way he carried the football, the way he set up to throw. They worked long hours on his footwork over the course of 3 seasons under Brett Favre. And then, you know, Aaron came in and he was a pretty polished product, but that feel in the pocket is what you're talking about. That is something that takes time to learn, and that's something that the great quarterbacks are able to do. And I think, you know, I saw a lot of Caleb Williams last year, specifically 2 games, one at Notre Dame where he played poorly and forced the ball because he was trying to will his team to win, and then another one against a Pac-12 opponent out in the Coliseum where he just played well and carried his team to a win. I think he has the it factor. I really do. I felt coming into the draft he was certainly, merited the number one choice overall in the draft. It's a matter of how he develops in the NFL, but I don't think this kid's going to miss. And I'll tell you why. Where NFL personnel people miss on quarterbacks is when you try to draft a quarterback who's thrown less than 1,000 passes in college. Well, Caleb Williams, I believe, threw 1,700 passes. Bo Nix, who I think is going to be terrific under Sean Payton in Denver, he threw like 1,900 passes. These guys have started multiple years in college. You know, Williams won a Heisman Trophy. I don't think there's a lot of question in what he can do. And, you know, I think the only question with him is how good will he be? And that's my point. That's the way I looked at it going into the draft. And, you know, I do an extensive draft show with the flagship station here in Wisconsin. And we studied Caleb Williams. And, you know, there was not much to study there because it pretty much looked to me like coming out of USC, he's seen it all. And I think he's going to see some different things in the NFL. But from the preparation standpoint, he's done that.
When obviously at this point, Jordan Love is the main event with the Packers. But I think the second biggest story, or the one it seems like I hear the most about, is those 4 young wide receivers and how loaded they are at that position. But then when you study the stats, you find that none of the 4 had what you would call a Pro Bowl season. I mean, they all look to be very good football players. But how set are they there? Are they really as good as they're being delivered as?
Well, that's the hope. That's for sure. And, you know, they're collectively, their strength is in the numbers of receivers that they have. Do they have Justin Jefferson out there? No, probably not. Although Christian Watson, if he stays healthy, has that kind of ability. And Watson isn't just a fly guy like Marquez Valdes-Scantling was. He's a guy who runs the full route tree. So, you know, that's, I think what they're looking at is is, you know, who could emerge from this group to lead them to be the number one receiver statistically on the field. But all four are great options, Hub, and they haven't had to emerge with a number one receiver yet. So we'll see how this season plays out. But I think Watson would be a guy who has that kind of upside potential. Jaden Reed is a slot receiver, but he's got great ability. They really like him. And then Romeo Doubs is as reliable a target as you could have in the red zone. Not that he's 6'7" or anything like that, but he knows how to get open. And he gets off the line of scrimmage. He gets open pretty quickly in tight quarters. So those are the three guys at the top of it. And then you've got the wild card is Dontayvion Wicks, and nobody knows really how good he can be because he was awfully good last year.
Our guest is Wayne Larrivee, play-by-play voice for the Green Bay Packers. Hub Arkish and Steve Rosenblum with you. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. The Bears' biggest, greatest weakness, I think, is their offensive line. We don't know who's going to be there. We don't know if they'll be healthy. They haven't been healthy yet. It's a scary thing, and they have a rookie quarterback. And in college, he had ball security issues. So what is the Green Bay Packers defensive line look at and or look like, and how afraid should Bears fans be?
Well, they've transitioned to a 4-3 front in base defense. And now most of the time they'll be in a 4-2-5 alignment, meaning, you know, four down linemen, two linebackers, and five defensive backs. But their base is 4-3, and that's different from last year. And, you know, because they had big people at the edge rushing positions in their 3-4 the last several years, guys like Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, on down the line, Lucas Van Ness, because those guys are actually, they look more like defensive linemen than outside linebackers, they've been able to transition into this defense. They're very active up front. Their whole deal is getting penetration and getting to the quarterback immediately and stopping the run on the way to the quarterback, which will give a team an opponent creases here and there. There's no question about that. But creating havoc in the backfield, tackles for loss and sacks now are big. Pressures, which were, you know, counted on last year and previous years under the old regime, you know, they talked a lot about quarterback pressures. Pressures are wonderful, except that what if you're going up against Patrick Mahomes and you pressure him and he spins out of traffic and fires a touchdown pass to his tight end? You know, Kelsey, what do you do? You know, you put down, well, we had a pressure here, but it didn't end the play, right? You know, that pressure is great. Oh, we got a pressure right over here, the defensive linebacking coach says. But it did. The Chiefs got a touchdown. So I'm all for it. I'm all for tackles for losses and sacks. You can pressure all you want. That's great, but doesn't mean it ended the play. That's where they are now. So it's a different look. They're very active up front. They've looked good all summer. Even in Denver, where the team struggled overall, the pressure they could get on the quarterback was impressive. And so I think that's the difference for the Packers this year. The different look, you know, that's going to be something that people are going to have to contend with. And if the, you know, Packers are playing the Bears this week instead of the Eagles, maybe that would be a big factor with the Bears offensive line in a little bit of a flux right now.
Wayne, a ton has been made about the offseason that the Bears have had and all the talent that they've added, both, you know, veteran and rookie free agent draft, et cetera. For the Packers, what is the most important addition they've made this offseason, and what is the most concerning loss or change they've had in the roster?
Well, there are a couple of them. Xavier McKinney, when they signed him from the Giants, they instantly became better defensively because they haven't had a safety in Green Bay of that stature since Nick Collins went out in 2011 with a career-ending neck injury. That's how good McKinney is and how smart he is back there in the secondary. Secondly, when they lost Aaron Jones and they weren't able to come to terms with him on a contract, they went out and got Josh Jacobs. Different type of back than Aaron Jones, no question about that. But he is a bell cow kind of running back, both, and we've been impressed with him as a receiver as well out of the backfield. So those two players in free agency. Now in the draft, the problem with the draft, Hub, has been that many of their picks in the top four, top five picks have been on the injured list at one point or another. Jordan Morgan should be back for this week. He's the offensive tackle they took in the first round. He really is playing guard more than he's playing tackle. and he's got a chance to start maybe a guard at some point this season, but he's missed a significant portion of training camp. You know, Edgerrin Cooper is a linebacker that reminds me a lot of Devin White when he was in his prime down at Tampa Bay. This kid is very smart, very athletic. He, too, has missed a significant portion of training camp. Javon Bullard looks like a keeper at safety, more of a strong safety type guy. Evan Williams in the fourth round, this safety, he's been the star of training camp. He leads them, and he's got like 8 interceptions in training camp practices, and he's just been outstanding. So they're better in the middle of the field defensively because of McKinney, Bullard, and Williams. And I think when you take a look at what they're going to be offensively, I think, you know, when they get Marshawn Lloyd, the USC running back, who's missed a lot of training camp due to injury, when they get him back, he looks to me to be a good change of pace from Josh Jacobs. So I think the Packers are better with the talent they've acquired, especially the free agents will show up early. But the rookies, it might take them a month or so to get up to speed because of the time they missed due to injury in training camp.
Wayne Larrivee is our guest, voice of the Green Bay Packers. We're talking Bears-Packers here on The Score. So the coaching brotherhood, the fraternity that includes Matt LaFleur and Matt Eberflus, LaFleur's growth has been at least professionally noticeable. The accomplishments keep stepping up. What have you seen this year? What have you seen in him? How would you describe this career arc so far?
You know, it was overshadowed in the early going by the presence of Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. much like Phil Jackson. He's won 11 titles and never been coach of the year of the NBA because he's been overshadowed by Michael Jordan in Chicago, by Kobe and Shaq in L.A. That happens to coaches when you have that superstar player. And, you know, the exception might be Andy Reid in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. Before there was Mahomes, there was Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. And everyone knew how good Andy Reid was. But Matt LaFleur stepped in with Aaron Rodgers for his first 3 or 4 years as head coach. And last year we saw him step out of that shadow with Rodgers in New York with the Jets. You got to see, you know, Matt LaFleur in his full head coaching regalia, so to speak. And so I think that's where we first started seeing, okay, hey, this guy's pretty good. When you look at where the Packers were, youngest team in the league on a 4-game losing streak and looking to go into the toilet, which most young teams do on a 4-game losing streak for the rest of the year, that team didn't. And I know a lot of it has to do with the players, and they were really, their naivete last year was actually a strength, and the kids didn't have any, they didn't realize where they were supposed to go. They just knew they had a game coming up, and they just kept working, and things got better, and they started playing better. But Matt LaFleur had a lot to do with that, his steady hand. And I think he's excellent in terms of setting up a game plan and that type of thing. But I really think last year we saw for the first time that was Matt LaFleur's best coaching job by far. And keeping a young team focused and on task through that adversity is the thing that impressed most of us.
Wayne, there's one kind of non-Packers question that I have to ask you. You brought up Aaron Rodgers. I didn't. So, but beyond that, obviously, you know, it's known here that Rodgers and I have a bit of a history, most of it not good, but not that bad either. And that's not the point of this. But the question I have, the Bears have probably been one of the biggest stories in the league this offseason because of everything they've done. The Jets have easily been the second biggest story. And Rodgers did something that I still can't believe he did. He misses an entire season after signing a mega contract to be the answer for the New York Jets, misses the entire year with an injury, and then takes the mandatory mini camp off to go on vacation with his friends. And clearly the Jets management wasn't happy about it. They weren't unhappy. They tried to make the best of it they could. What kind of teammate and leader was Rodgers when he was with the Packers?
That's a good question. I think he was great with the Packers, with the people that he worked with in the locker room. I think he was great. Now, was there drama around Aaron Rodgers? Sure, there was plenty of that. But with his teammates, he was great. He was fine. He was a good mentor to Jordan Love. Jordan Love, be the first to tell you, he learned a lot from Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers never once gave him the cold shoulder or anything like that. And in fact, throughout the season last year, Aaron Rodgers was in contact with Jordan Love as the Packers struggled and then started to hit their stride down the stretch. So by my all accounts, he was a great teammate. But You know, the thing that happened with the Jets, I don't know. It was kind of unusual, but, you know, the one thing about Aaron, you're going to get some drama, that's for sure.
Wayne, I appreciate it. It was great catching up with you, and Bears fans are thrilled that you're not going to be anywhere near one of their games for the first 10 weeks of the season.
Guys, it's great talking with you guys. All the best. Have a great season, and we'll see each other along the way.
All right. Wayne Larrabee.
Take care, Wayne.
Wayne Larrabee, voice of the Packers on WSCR. We are the score. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will keep the football talk going. Clay Harbor, former NFL tight end, part of the Believe in Bears podcast with Marshall Harris and Gabe Ramirez, all of whom you've heard on the show. So Wayne's scouting report on LaFleur and Jordan Love and the Packers, it's like some guys still have a year, you know, that extra year of experience, but it sounds like they still need a treat parent. Like somebody's still got to do that job. But what did it sound like to you from what you remember the Packers?
It sounded to me like Wayne is encouraged by where the Packers are at. Yeah. and the offseason that they've had with the way they finished last year. That's certainly reasonable, you know, because last year, the second half down the stretch, they were playing as well as anybody. You know, I think that we dealt with the biggest question. Jordan Love has one season, half pretty bad, not pretty bad, half not great, and half very good. Mm. That's not enough for a franchise quarterback. He has already been anointed, however, as their franchise quarterback, and I think that's because of what happened with Rodgers and Favre following each other. And I think that's the key to their season this year, and I think that's what Wayne's seeing too. If he's the guy he was the second half of last season, then they do have another franchise quarterback, and then they're probably going to be the team to beat in the division.
So Wayne's looking at it as last year he started off the season as a guy you win with. Sort of grew into the idea of a guy you win because of. Mm-hmm. And now this year, there has to be no question, he's a guy you win because of.
Well, I think they had no idea what they had at the start of the season.
I understand.
Yeah, but I think what
but
you say is...
But that's how the arc goes.
Yeah, and I think that's accurate. And there's no reason to expect Love not to continue to develop. It looks like he could be the next really great NFL franchise quarterback off what we saw the second half of last season. But as Bears fans, we've learned over the years... Half of any one season, especially your first season, is not enough on which to judge or evaluate your entire career. And I think that Love still has a lot to prove the first 5, 6, 8 weeks of this season to show that he's continuing to go in the same direction.
So does Caleb Williams, given all the buildup. We'll talk to somebody else about Caleb Williams. Used to play in the NFL. See what he thinks about this. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Hub Arkish. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.